Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 28, text 41. 42. Pare Brahmani Chatmanam.
Pare Brahmani Chatmanam.
Param Brahma Tatpani.
Param Brahma Tatpani.
Vikshamano Vihayaksham.
Vikshamano Vihayaksham.
Asmadupara
Ramaha.
Pare,
pare,
transcendental,
transcendental,
Brahmani,
Brahmani,
in the absolute,
in the absolute,
cha,
cha,
and Atmanam,
Atmanam,
the self,
self,
Param,
Param,
the supreme,
supreme,
Brahma,
Brahma,
absolute,
absolute,
Tata,
Tata,
also.
Also,
Atmani,
Atmani,
in himself,
Pakshmanaha,
thus observing,
Vihaya,
giving up, Iksham, reservation,
Asmat,
from this process,
Uparama,
retired. Certainly.
Certainly.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. King Malayadvaj could thus observe that the super soul was sitting by his side, and that he, as the individual soul, was sitting by the side of the super soul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. Thus, he sees from such activities. Purport. In the advanced stage of devotional service, the devotee does not see anything separate between his own interests and those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both interests become one, for the devotee does not act for a separate interest. Whatever he does in the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, he sees everything in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in everything. Having attained this stage of understanding, he sees no distinction between the spiritual and material world. In perfect vision, the material world becomes the spiritual world due to its being the external energy of the Lord. For the perfect devotee, the energy and the energetic are non-different. Thus, the so-called material world becomes spiritual. Sarvam kalo idam brahma. Everything is intended for the service of the Supreme Lord, and the expert devotee can utilize any so-called material thing for the Lord's service. One cannot serve the Lord without being situated on a spiritual platform. Thus, if a so-called material thing is dovetailed in the service of the Lord, it is no longer to be considered material. Thus, the pure devotee in a perfect vision sees from all angles. Translation again. King Malayadvaj could thus observe that the super soul was sitting by his side, and that he as an individual soul was sitting by the side of the super soul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. Thus, he ceased from such activity. Om Ajnana Dvirandasya Gnandjana Salasya Chakshurin Nidamedantasmai Sri Gurave Nama Om Vishnu Budaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Sunyavadi Vastattade Satarine Pancha kalpa karubhyasya kripa sindubhyaya vacha
Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srimasvati Shukulatraminda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a beautiful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where we can understand for the advanced devotee, everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. And we have experienced by observing Srila Prabhupada's life that he came across so many things and he utilized everything in the service of the Lord. He was really using at the time the dictaphone, tape recorders. And sometime when Srila Prabhupada was traveling in India, people say, oh, but you are a sadhu, you're not supposed to go and cross the ocean, or you're supposed to go by walk. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is nonsense. You know, we can go and preach because we're doing the service of the Lord and we're spreading the holy name of the Lord and the message of the Lord. Therefore, we can utilize everything in service. He said, if there is airplane or train or car, why should I go by walk? So he was a very practical person, and so he utilized everything in the service of the Lord. I believe sometimes the devotees ask, what about the nuclear weapon? He said, yes, we can use that also. So he was a very practical person, and by his teaching we can see that he was seeing everything as the energy of the Lord. Now, of course, in his purpose, Srila Prabhupada explained there is material energy and spiritual energy. Apara and Apara Bhakti, there is superior and inferior. But then for the devotees of the Lord, who is in love with Krishna, then he sees everything connected with the Lord, because everything emanates from the Lord. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada said, actually, everything which is emanating from the Lord, it is spiritual. But for us, material world means it's contaminated because we looking at the object of our senses and we think we are the enjoyer. So therefore it becomes a material contamination and we start to think that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, I am the doer. But for the pure devotee, he sees everything connected with the Lord and therefore he sees how can I utilize everything in his service. So that's the vision of Tama Bhakti. Of course, Srila Prabhupada explained that from the platform of Uttama, for preaching purpose, we had to come to the Madhyama platform where we can relate with everybody and everything and therefore propagate the mission of the Lord. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago to propagate this message of love of God and to experience himself what is the highest pleasure of Radharani for himself, for Krishna. So we have a mission in life, which is to preach or to inspire people to come closer to Krishna, to understand that we are not the body, we are spirit soul, we are eternally servant of Krishna, and we can connect people, you know, to the Lord, if they so desire. Krishna by book says that when the living entity is distracted by material enjoyment, he's looking away from Krishna. And as Maharaj was telling the other day in a class, the example is given in the tree, there are two birds. One is eating the fruit and the other one is looking, I think. So as long as the living entity, they are by book, or they are interested in external material enjoyment, then this message of Krishna consciousness may be not appealing to them because they have different interests. Their interest is that how can I make money, how can I have position, how can I buy a bigger car, bigger house, and wherever, and so on and so on. With the false ego, they create so many mental concoctions. And at the same time, they suffer in the material world because they are kind of sleeping in the lap of Maya. So we want to awaken people to Krishna consciousness and The best way to do it is actually to distribute our books, give prasadam, distribute prasadam, doing harinam, invite people to the temple, and slowly cultivating these people to make them feel friendly towards us and explain the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the people, they have no choice but to float in a material platform of repeated birth and death. So this goes on forever because we are eternal being. And there are 8,400,000 different species of life, and we've been going through all of those. Now we are human beings. And so as a human, we have great responsibility towards ourselves and towards other people. So only as a human we can awaken our Krishna consciousness or love for Krishna. The animal cannot, because they are forced by material nature to follow certain nature. So Manushya Durlabham, it says this human form of life is very rare and very precious. So in this human form of life we could awaken and realize the Supreme Lord. So there's a great, great, great opportunity for us to awaken our Krishna consciousness and to awaken other people to Krishna consciousness, because this is the greatest gift we can give to anybody. Yes? Because once people, they are awakened to Krishna consciousness, then they start to perceive everything in a different way. And they can see that everything is emanating from the Lord, therefore everything should be utilized in the service of the Lord. So by performing devotional service, or by chanting the holy name, even casually, even by joke or by mistake, people can wipe out all their karma. And they can actually awaken themselves and think, okay, what am I doing? Where am I going? What is the meaning of life? What is the ultimate goal of life? Because if we seriously think, materially speaking, where we work very hard to make money, to have a house, to have family, to improve ourselves in social development. But then in the end of our life, we're going to lose everything. We cannot take anything with us. Jesus says, naked we come, naked we go. So, you know, so it's very, very important that people understand that we are eternal being and we are spirit soul and we are eternal servant of God. Otherwise, they will be rotting in the material world forever. And the chances of people going back to animal life is also very great in this Kali Yuga. It says in the Bhagavatam, Kaler dosani de rajam nasye ko mahaguna kirtana deva krishna sya mukta sanga param rajet. So there are so many bad quality in Kali Yuga, you know. But there is one good quality, that is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, people can be reawakened, even just by hearing. Yesterday we went to see one gentleman who was dealing in stones, and we were speaking to him, and I was telling him, no, we are the Hare Krishna monks and Maharajas here. And he said, oh wait, I remember them in 1972. They used to sing this song, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Yeah, we are these people. And then we give him a card with a mantra. I said, please chant this mantra every day, so because this will help you to purify your mind, and then you can understand. You have millions of dollars worth in your stock, in your shop with diamonds and stone. But you know, ultimately, you know, we're gonna lose everything. But if you chant this mantra every day, it will give you greatest pleasure. So it was very much appreciated. So like that, we can try to promote this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and said, okay, I'm eating this nectar, how many mango can I eat? I want you to distribute this mercy to everybody. So he said, in every town and village, my name will be heard. So wherever we go, whoever we meet, we should carry with us either some prasadam or some book or some good words by which we can inspire them to take this process of Krishna consciousness or awakening themselves from illusion. And this illusion is like tick. And the duty of Maya is to keep the living entity, you know, in this material world. No one can escape unless they really develop the love of God. So it's like a prison house, and we are inside the prison house. There are different level of prison, different level of people, different penal codes, and different people that are for many years in a prison, somebody 1 year, 3 years, somebody for a lifetime. But we can actually give people freedom to go out of the prison house once and for all and go back to their spiritual world, to the spiritual world which is our true nature. We are all seeking pleasure. We are looking for happiness. But the happiness is there within ourselves when we connect with Krishna. As long as we are materially motivated, we try to bring happiness from outside, inside. But as we become spiritually advanced, we can feel the happiness from inside our heart. Like in this case, we see this Maharaj Madhavaj, he was feeling the presence of the Lord sitting next to him. And then he didn't need to do anything else but dedicate his consciousness in a person of his pleasure. So Krishna consciousness means we want to give pleasure to Krishna in our activity. We don't ask for anything, but we get so much pleasure in return simply by engaging in devotional service. So this is very important that we actually consciously make an effort to think, how can we please the Lord? There is a beautiful pastime in South India. There are many, many wealthy temples. So there were a bunch of thieves, and they went and steal in the night. They made a plan how to steal all the ornaments of the Lord. So they went very, very stealthily. They broke the lock, they entered inside, and they stole all the crown, the jewel, and the diamonds, whatever was in possession of the deity, they stole everything. But then while going out of the temple, they stole also the big bell, which was there. While going out, the bell fell down on the floor and made a big sound. So the chokidar wake up, all the chokidar wake up, all the people wake up. And you know, in India, in very few minutes, you have a few hundred people. They chase them, and each one give one slap, one kick. So basically they were dead. You know, and then when the police come, who killed these guys? I say, I don't know, I only give one slap. And then they say, I only give one kick. So anyway, they were dead. The Yamaduta came and picked them up and said, okay, now you rascals, come. Yamaraj wants to see you. So they went in front of Yamaraj, and then there is the devotee who is keeping the record of all the sin done by people. And he said, well, you know, this guy, they have a big book of wrong things that they've done. But then at the same time, the Vishnu Duta came and said, stop, stop. You cannot punish these people. And then everybody is surprised, including the thief. What? Yamaduta say, why we cannot punish these people? They are, you know, they did so many wrong things. Look at the book, you know. They did so many sin, plus they stole all the wealth of the deity, all the diamond, they broke the law. They say, well, you see, for our Lord, anybody who does even little service, the Lord becomes very, very pleased. And he said, the thief themselves, they said, we didn't do anything. We didn't do any service. They were surprised. And they say, okay, no, but you see, when these thieves, they went to steal all the things from the temple, they went to a rice field, and their food was covered with clay. You know, the rice, they put the rice, and there is always water. So when you walk in this water rice field, then your feet become full of mud. So when they entered the temple, there was some crack in the marble on the floor, and with their feet, walking on the feet, they repaired the crack on the floor. And therefore, for the Lord, this is considered a service. Somebody who repaired the temple, who cleaned the temple, who served the deity, they are on an equal platform for the servant of the Lord. Therefore, they are not punished. And the thief themselves, they say, "Well, we didn't know this." So anyway, they say, "Okay, step this airplane outside, you come with us." And the Yamadutas, they were very surprised, because they thought, you know, Yamaraj is the boss, he's the controller of time, he's the controller of death, he's the controller of all the living entities. So when they went back to Yamaraj, they told, "Okay, we made these far-out people, the Vishnudutas are so effulgent, they have Shankar Chakragadapama, they have four arms, they're blue and they look very beautiful. Who are these people?" He said, "Look, these are the people, they're the servant of my master." But he said, "We thought you are the master." He said, "Yes, I'm the master, but only little master, not big. He's the big master, he's the super boss." So then Yamaraj instruct also the Yamaduta not to go near anyone who has Tila, Kuntimala, or even chant once the name of the Lord. So this is how much the Lord can reciprocate with us. Even somebody accidentally, you know, repaired the temple of the Lord, or we know the story Maharaj was telling, how by chanting the name of Narayan, what's his name? Ajamil became completely free from all sin. So this, the Lord is, for the Lord we are very dear to Him. We are like small children. And the Lord is always looking after us in the form of Paramatma, and He's taking personal care of the devotee who are chanting the holy name of the Lord, who are trying to please Him, who are trying to serve Him. Therefore, the devotee of the Lord are very, 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 very dear to the Lord. And we should never offend the devotee, because they are actually, how you can say, they're very precious. Even though they're making an attempt, even though we have imperfection, even though we are not purified 100%, but the fact that they're making an attempt to serve Krishna and to awaken their Krishna consciousness, they are glorious. Therefore, the Vaishnava Purana is considered one of the most greatest offense, because we should never offend anybody. In Chaitanya Bhagavad said, no one should think this is a lower Vaishnava, this is medium Vaishnava, this is a higher Vaishnava. No, Vaishnavas are Vaishnavas, they're all worshipable. If somebody comes here on one day in the temple, he's a worshipable person. So we must be very, very careful, because this is the only thing which can refrain our bhakti lata to grow and go back to the spiritual world. It's because sometimes we have this fine fault in nature. Always we find, oh, this is wrong, that is wrong. What about this? What about that? What about this person? What about that person? Who do you think he is? Actually, this is not necessary. We should have a very wide, open mind to accept all the devotees for whatever they are trying to make an attempt, and we should serve them. How can we help everybody to progress in Krishna consciousness? That will create unity amongst ourselves. There is constructive criticism, of course. We can see sometimes if we are in a position of authority, we have to correct certain things, we have to make some adjustment, we have to also call some people and say, okay, maybe there is some other way you can do this service. But many times what appears to us is wrong. Just like there is another pastime in South India. Ramanujacharya had many, many thousands of disciples. But there was his cousin brother, he was called Govinda. So all the devotees went there, they went and complained. The master, we saw Govinda is sitting outside the prostitute house. What is he doing? This is very strange. So then Ramanuja called his cousin brother and said, "Govinda, please sit down. What happened? Why are you sitting outside the prostitute house? Are you waiting to go inside the prostitute house?" He said, "No, Master, I was walking in the street and from the window of that house, I was hearing the recitation of the Ramayana. And as soon as I heard that, I sit down under the window and I was enjoying hearing the Ramayana. I didn't know whose house it was. I didn't want to disturb them. So from outside I was listening. So apparently Govinda was thinking the devotee were thinking that Govinda was going to the prostitute, but it was not his intention. Another time they saw him that he had his hand inside the mouth of a snake as he was killing the snake. Again the devotee complained. So again Ramanujacharya called Govinda and said, "What are you doing? Why are you killing the snake?" He said, "Master, I was not killing the snake. The snake had one thorn in his throat and it was almost dying. So I put my hand and removed it. Torn from his throat and I let it go." Again, you know, so what we perceive sometimes is not necessarily the truth. So the best, most probably the best way we can do is to go and ask that devotee, "Prabhuji, I see you doing these things." Like the other day I asked Prabhu, "Why are you chanting with two hands?" You know, it looks strange. I never saw anybody traveling around the world chanting with two hands. But he gives very nice explanation. So when I'm touching Tulsi, I'm becoming purified. So wonderful. So, but somebody can think, "Oh, you know, why this person is touching me with the left hand? What is this up to? Maybe it's crazy. Ooh, what's going on?" You know? But if you simply ask in a humble way, then the person can give explanation. And then we can understand, okay, makes sense. So like that, we must be very, very careful not to offend any Vaishnava. Again, there is a beautiful pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At one point in his pastimes, he sat on the altar and he showed his form that he is the Lord, and he was giving benediction to everybody. So all the devotees there request, "Please give blessing to my father who is sick. Please give blessing to my wife. Give blessing to my..." So one devotee came and said, "Please give blessing to your mother." And Lord Chaitanya said, "I cannot." And they say, "Why not? Your mother, she's the mother of the universe. She carried you in the womb. She's the most auspicious person we know." And she said, and he said, "Actually, she's an offender. She offended Advaita Acharya. And therefore I cannot give my mercy to her. But she's your mother. Still I cannot." And the devotee asked, "What offense she did?" Well, in her mind, she was thinking that Advaita Acharya is actually stealing my son. He's called Advaita, but I call him Dvaita. He's the one who is duplicious. He already took one of my son and became sannyasi, and now he's preaching to my other son. And he also became sannyasi, and he'll go away and I'll be alone. I'm a widow. She was thinking like that. She never revealed this to anyone, but the Lord knows everything. So the devotees say, "Okay, what is the remedy for this?" The only remedy is that she should go and take the dust from the feet of Advaita Acharya. When this news came to Advaita Acharya, he was completely upset. He said, "What are you saying? You want to kill me? How can such a mother make any offense against me? It's not possible. I don't remember any offense. She never told me anything." And then he fell unconscious. And then at that time the devotee told Sachimata, "Please go and take the dust now." Because he will never allow you to touch his feet. So she went and took the dust on the feet of Advaita Acharya. And then the Lord said, "Okay, now I can give love of God, Krishna Prem, to her." So many, many pastimes like this, you know, with the devotees. The Lord taught by his exemplary action how to be a perfect devotee. So if we are always careful in our devotional life, and if we are always enthusiastic in performing our service, and we are always humble in serving the Vaishnava, in this association we can grow very, very fast spiritually. We can perceive the Lord. And we can see the Lord is making many arrangements for us. Sometimes bad, sometimes good, but to awaken or to make us more surrender. So we are always able to perceive Krishna in our daily life. And this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. There's a Bengali slogan, "Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke." If Krishna wants to protect you, no one can defeat you. And if Krishna wants to kill you, no one can protect you. So let's take shelter of Lord Krishna, and let's take shelter of His holy name, which is not different from Him. And let's try to help the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in spreading this Krishna consciousness. Here in Melbourne, there are so many wonderful people. It's a nice place. And so, in that way, we'll be able to please the Lord, and we'll be able to go back home, back to God. I'd like to thank you very much for your attentive hearing. If you have any question or if you have any comment, I would appreciate to hear. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhupada.
Yes. You said, Lord Chaitanya's mother made an offense in the mind to Advaita Acharya.
Yes.
But I also heard that if you make any offenses in the mind, in Kali Yuga you don't get any reactions.
That's true. Because if the Lord counts all the offenses we make in our mind, then maybe we'll go to hell. So the Lord does not consider in Kali Yuga any offense which goes in our mind, but at least we must be careful not to be verbal or physical against Vaishnavas. We maybe think something and okay, whatever, but the Lord doesn't consider that. Of course, that doesn't give us license to think bad of the devotees. So we must, at one level, also control our mind. The mind can be our best friend, but can be our worst enemy. So those who control the mind is the best friend. Because the mind will also assist us to be dedicated to Krishna consciousness. But if we cannot control our mind, we start to find fault in everything and everybody. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, the best policy is always to find fault in ourselves first. Because what we see outside is the reflection of our consciousness. So if we find many faults, most probably the same faults are present in our heart. So we have to be a little sincere and honest and introspective to see this. Apart from that, we can have a close friend in Krishna consciousness which we can relate and say, Prabhu, I'm feeling like this, what do you think? Am I Maya? Am I Vieni? I'm okay. So a friend we can approach, somebody who can help us at the time of need is very, very important. Does this answer your question? Yes?
I was just wondering.
Yes.
See, Sati Mata, she is the eternal mother of the Lord. So, if she did this act often, was it Lord Chaitanya made her do it so that he can be taught something?
Yeah, we can accept this as a pastime of the Lord, because how can Sati Mata offend anybody? She was always very eager to serve the Lord. So we can understand in the past times of the Lord many things happen for teaching. Like Chodhari does, you know, the Lord punished him and he committed suicide. So because he went and begged from house to house and he begged in some house where there was a beautiful girl, but there was no fault of this. But still the Lord, to teach other, he used the devotees. In this case he used his own mother. So we can understand this is the past times. Not that she was influenced by Maya or illusion. Because the eternal associates of the Lord, they are not under the influence of material nature. Does this answer your question?
Okay.
Yes.
Maharaj, see if I am very busy, for example, now I'm retired, but if I'm seeing too many patients, I can't do my chanting, or if I'm busy in the house. So, is very important to do chanting first and then other things, or first we have to do chanting?
That's a very nice question. I think all of us have to find his own balance to find the proper time for chanting. Most probably if you take a white page and you write what time you do everything, you'll find gaps in between which you can chant, or you can while you do your homework or service, maybe you can put a bhajan also at the same time. I don't know, if you're a doctor you seem patient, so you obviously you cannot do and you have to give attention. But yes, the idea is that we should commit ourselves in a gradual process. Maybe we can chant 4 rounds every day. And then when we do that for 1 month, we can increase to 5 rounds. It's not point of chanting 35 rounds, 36, and then one day we don't chant at all. So it's like I invite you my home, and then I say, I'm sorry, today there is nothing to eat. Yeah, why you invite me home? You know, could you make some arrangements, some fruit, something? I don't know. So it's like we are appealing to the Lord, please engage me in your service. And so we want to go steady to the platform where we can maintain our consciousness very high. But the fact that you are retired, you should have more time. I am also retired. I'm also traveling with Maharaj. So we have to kind of adjust our schedule. Maybe we wake up 1 hour early in the morning, we go to sleep 1 hour early in the night. And maybe there is some activity which we can adjust. This is called time management. So we see what is the best we can do to maintain our Krishna consciousness always high. We stay high forever. I mean, we don't want to come down into the mode of material nature, be influenced by stupid things, which we know are not beneficial for us. So, but nobody is forcing you to do anything. It's your choice. So you gradually figure out. If you need some help, I'm sure there are devotees who can help also you to see what is the best schedule. This is managing our life. So we are all managers. So the wife are managing the kitchen and the house, and the husband managing their job, and the children managing to go to school and learn, so we're all managing something. And this is the relationship with the material nature and material world. So in this 24 hour we have to accomplish a certain amount of things. We have to take rest, we have to take a bath, we have to eat, all the things necessary to maintain the body. But at the same time we want to also have some qualified time which you dedicate only to the chanting, which is very important, or listening to lecture of Srila Prabhupada, reading Bhagavatam, whatever. Now, any of these items, they are beneficial for us to maintain our Krishna consciousness. There is also like and dislike. Maybe some people like more philosophy, some people like more music, some people like more cooking, some people like more speaking. There are so many varieties. You know, it's a very wide, open range of things and activities we can choose to perform to keep us Krishna consciousness. But the idea is to maintain steady, you know, amount of chanting. Prabhupada said minimum 16 rounds.
Minimum?
Yeah, minimum 16 rounds. So, and of course, if we chant early in the morning, it's very easy because our mind is clean, it's pure, and we're not influenced by passion and ignorance, because in the morning it's sattva guna. Compared to chanting in the night, you say, okay, I'll chant in the night, but in the night it's very slow, it's very difficult, your mind, you're tired. So it's easy to allot a certain amount of time. Maybe not to, you cannot chant 16 rounds all at once, but let's say half an hour or 20 minutes. Let me focus on chanting in here and properly the volume of the Lord with devotion, because this chanting of Krishna's name is not different from Him. So we can feel His presence. We can feel the blessing of the Lord by His chanting. As we perform chanting, we become more purified, and we are advancing Krishna consciousness to the point that we come to pure chanting. There will be no interference, no other desire other than to please Krishna. And then we are situated on the platform. Yes?
You already answered more than 90% of the my question. A little bit doubt more. Supposing I am doing too many lectures at night, or I am doing something which makes me busy, and I can't get up early in the morning, so what do I do in that case?
See,
too
again,
much work at night in the house, because I can't finish my work. So how to get up early in the morning, that becomes a problem.
There is a British saying, you know, early to sleep, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. But you know, it's our own. You know, some people they are day people, and some people they are night people. I wish you said this distinction. You know, so people like more to work in the night. And some people are like this. You know, but for spiritual life, it's best is to go to sleep early and to wake up early. Maybe you can accomplish the same letter you do in the night in a day, and you will do much faster because I don't know. Maybe your mind is more fresh, and your intelligence works faster. But you can try. Try to go to sleep 1 hour early and wake up 1 hour early and just dedicate, then you start all the other activity. First thing first, So we want to first things get a blessing on Krishna, then all our day is fully charged, our battery, and we go in bliss in performing all our activity. That's my personal experience.
Thank you.
Any other questions there? Any comment?
Do you remember what Prabhupada would do with the other one?
I don't know. We didn't ask him, but I'm sure he'll destroy all the demons, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, yes, please.
It's interesting when Prabhupada's commenting on the third here that the pure devotees have the same difference between material and spiritual. But that tendency is to look down on material matter as being inherently bad. I just wanted to get any further comments about that.
Yeah. Well, Srila Prabhupada gave you an example of electricity. He said an expert electrician can transform electricity into heat or into cool. You know, but the electricity is the same. So similarly, when you use everything which is coming from the Lord, material and spiritual. Now, from, as I was saying, from Krishna's point of view, everything emanates from him. Even the material nature emanates from him, and then it goes through the cycle of destruction, and goes back into his energy, into his body. So, is material because we separate ourselves through sense enjoyment, identifying ourselves with the body, and therefore we go under the most material nature, and the false ego makes us believe we are the enjoyer. That's material. But once we awaken to spiritual consciousness, so whatever we see, we can see the presence of Krishna. In the tree we can see, okay, this tree is a spirit soul and it's giving nice fruit and flower I can offer to Krishna. So the tree will get benefit. So everything we see, is we see that it's connected with Krishna. So, and that's the vision we should develop. So of course, Prabhupada says sometimes, my devotee fall down because they are not scared of Maya. So we should be also careful in dealing with material energy, you know, like we don't want to go in a nightclub, you know, and try to preach there, you know, I mean, I don't think it's very advisable for us. Maybe Prabhupada went, you know, in California in some naked, what is called, you know, beach, where everybody was naked, you know. Yeah, he went there and preached. And Prabhupada was not disturbed. You know, he preached to the leader there, and then he told the brahmachari, okay, let's go, this is no place for brahmachari. But Prabhupada was not influenced by material nature in any possible way, because he connected everything with Krishna. But for us, we have to be careful, so we want to safeguard ourselves. And, you know, even though we have been practicing Krishna consciousness for many years, still, we want to be careful not to fall in illusion in Maya. Maya is very powerful. Can make us believe something that I'm a great preacher, I'm very strong, I'm very spiritually sound, I can do anything. And then, you know, you find a beautiful girl and say, oh, you're very handsome. And then you fall down, whatever, I don't know. Or you find somebody give you $1 million and then you think, okay, now I made it, I'm going to buy a Ferrari, an helicopter, and I'm going to enjoy life. I don't know. It can be many different, you know, Maya knows all our mind and our tricks, so if we are not 100% surrender, Maya can test us also and see, put us in a position where are we really want Krishna or you still want material energy, you still want to enjoy. So anything can happen. But the explanation of the acharya is that people fall down not because of material desire, because of offenses against the devotee. We see in our history of ISKCON also, you know, many great devotees, they fall down. And of course, apparently they fall down with some woman or whatever, but this was, you know, because of offenses against Vaishnavas. Because when we offend the Vaishnava again, we become covered, you know, Maya covered us. And then we start to think, I am a great devotee, everybody should worship me. I am even better than Prabhupada, some people think like that. You know, so, and then pride comes, and then people fall down. So, how to maintain that humble state of mind? Because we are the servant of Krishna, so if we remember every day, We are servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. So there is no place for pride. Be puffed up, however great we are still insignificant soul. So I think in that way we can remain always fixed in Krishna consciousness. Does this answer your question? Yes.
Sometimes we do offense, but we don't realize it, that we have done innocently.
Yeah, there is some casual type of offense that we do, maybe. But we should be conscious as much as possible not to offend the Vaishnavas. There are different levels of offenses in plain scripture. There is offense against the Vaishnavas, the greatest things. There is offense against other living entities. Like, we walk in the street, we cannot see the ants, we step on the ants, and the ants die. So there is also an offense against the jivas. But if we are chanting Hare Krishna, the Lord will forgive that offense, which are casual, are unnoticeable sometimes. And there is offense against Mother Earth, other living entities. There is offense against the Holy Name. There are different levels of offenses. So we must be always very conscious and careful not to commit consciously offenses against anybody, against other living entities also.
But if you feel bad, then I might have been unconsciously. What is the remedy for it?
The remedy is to feel remorse and pray to the Lord, please, I am an offender, please protect me. So through the constant chanting of the Holy Name, we will be protected. At one point, Jagaya Madai, who when became devotees, they were feeling so remorseful in their heart because they offended many people. I mean, they were murdered, rapists, I don't know, name it, they did it all. But they said, we were so intoxicated that we do not remember to whom we did all this wrong thing. We would like to go and offer obeisance and touch their feet and ask forgiveness, but we cannot even remember. So Lord Chaitanya advised Jagaya Madai to build a ghat, which is still there, where people could go and take bath. A god, a place, a bathing place on the Ganges.
Oh,
a god.
God.
So then they built this god, this place where, with the steps, where people could go and take bath in the Ganges so they would serve the devotee. But what happened is that when people went and take bath, when they saw them, they were scared. Oh my god, Jagaya Madai, no, don't go there. These guys are criminals. Maybe they'll kill us, steal our clothes. I don't know. So everybody was very scared. So at the time, even the devotees, was the same, my God, these people, they did not devotee, no. So Lord Chaitanya called everybody and said, no one should see Jagaya Madai as they were before. Everybody should see them as Vaishnavas because they surrendered to the Lord. So there is no, I've taken away all their sins and they are pure now. So we have to be very careful, but we can feel always pray for the blessing of the Lord that even offenses we did maybe many lifetimes before, which we don't know, could be forgiven. And he says that the idea is to go and offer obeisance and take the dust of the feet we offended when we offend somebody. But if we don't know and we don't remember them, we constantly chant the Holy Name, we relieve those offenses. Any other questions? Yes?
Hi, Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
I'm not Maharaj, okay? I am just a devotee.
Thank you very much. I heard a story in South India. There was a Swamiji. And he had a disciple. And the disciple was very proud that he was very pious and this and that. So he put a hermitage in a forest, almost like a forest. So he was living there. So one day his spiritual master was also very thin. So he came as a lady and he asked for shelter. It was night, it was raining. So, for Krishna said, "All right, you can take rest in another room. But please don't disturb me at night." It was too cold, so he needed a blanket, warm blanket. So he thought the lady, the person, actually it was Guru Maharaj, she might also need blanket. So he went to give the blanket there, and he was so attracted that he wanted to lie down there. Then Guru Maharaj said, "Look, I am not a woman, I am your Guru Maharaj." And then he did that. So I don't know if this story is true or not, but it's just telling you that how Maya, as you said, Maya is so powerful, it can grab anybody.
Yes. So we must be always careful. Always be careful. Actually, there's a story of Ajamil, because they asked, how is it possible that Ajamil was born in a Brahmin family, he was a nice boy, and how is it possible, certainly, you know, he became attracted to prostitutes, and then he became sinful. How is it possible? What happened, there is a pastime, in his previous life, he was a wandering mendicant in Himalaya, and then while he was traveling in the foothill of the Himalaya, he felt very thirsty, he was very thin. He drank cold water from the stream of the mountain because it was so cold he fainted. And then some people were walking by, and one doctor stopped and checked him. He was alive. And then one Grihastha with his daughter, young daughter, she was 13 and 14, they stopped there and they said, "Can we do anything to help this person?" You know, people are very pious in India. So the doctor advised, "The only way we can revive this person is that you take him to your home and let him sleep with your daughter with the warmth of her body. He can be revived because his body becomes frozen." So the Brahman said, "Okay, I'll do it." So he took his body, he put him in a bed. He asked his daughter, "Please sleep with this man. Sleep means just the warmth of your body so that he can be revived." So when in the morning he woke up, he saw that he was sleeping with this beautiful girl. And he said, "What are you doing with me? What am I doing here?" And before she speaks, he cursed her. He said, "You will become a prostitute because you are attracted to me." And then she was also very spiritually powerful and intelligent because she was very young. And she said, "Okay, if you are cursing me to become a prostitute next life, then you would have to spend your time with me." And that's how, you know, the story goes. So we have to be very, very careful. You know, we have to be super careful in dealing with both material energy and devotees and people. Because, you know, anytime things can happen. So let's take always the protection of the holy name of the Lord.
Lord is always testing us.
The Lord is always testing us. So we have to be careful. Always.
Where is that story
from? It's from the Vishnu Purana.
Vishnu
Purana?
Yes.
Yes.
Does this story have any connection with
Vibhavan Gita later on? No, I don't think so. I'm not sure. I don't know. Vibhavan Gita is a different story.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ajami was Vibhavan Gita. That sounds similar, but there is no connection. I think they are the same people. There are many prostitute stories and there are many things, you know, in the Bhagavad, but I don't think so. It's the same people involved, a different people. Yes?
Well, you gave this nice story about two thieves who came to steal in the temple, and then, unknowingly, they kind of did some maintenance work. So, these are inspiring stories, but
yes.
When we hear the lectures and even the Java story, it's very inspiring. We chant once the name of the Lord, then we are able to go back to the world.
But
in our own application of Krishna consciousness, we've been there's a lot more of people put more effort. So I just
see, the Maharaj gives explanation. This Ajamil, he was sinful, but he was having no dealing with devotees, therefore no offense. So his karma was wiped out, and next life, he took birth again, and then he became perfect in my life. But for us, the body, we are dealing with devotional service. We took this path to perform devotional service. So we shouldn't think, okay, I'll chant one time Narayan, and that's it. I'm free, I'm chanting one time Hare Krishna. No? Of course, it's good to chant Hare Krishna even one time. But if you take initiation, means you're serious about spiritual life, and we follow the acharyas. So the acharya prescribed for us what is the path, the way of conduct. We can lead our life in such a way that we can become perfect. So there is some endeavor involved in that. You know, how many people like Nelson Mandela, they made him, you know, professor in some university, you know. But he didn't go to university, just honoring him. They appointed him as professor of university, doctor, right? But not everybody can become a doctor like that. Somebody wants to become a doctor, he has to study to become a doctor. So there are occasional things happening, but for the mass of people, the body, we must follow the acharya so that we can become purified and go back home to God. So our endeavor is our purification. See? If we would not endeavor to purify ourselves, then we'll be stuck in the material world. We will endeavor for enjoying our senses and our mind. So we must make an attempt to purify ourselves, and therefore our desire. See, desire is a guiding principle. It's like a compass in a ship. In a ship, there is a big compass which tells where it's north all the time, so that it can set the right course. So our desire is our guiding and leading compass. So what we desire, we will achieve. What we actually aspire to become, we will achieve. Whatever our thought, they become actions. So this is the way that we have to perform our service. We don't take for granted, okay, I chanted Hare Krishna, therefore I'm purified. Yes, maybe you're purified from all sin, but you won't constantly perform devotional service. Because devotional service is eternal. It's not that we go back to God and then we go, okay, I made it, boy, and now I'm free to do anything I want. No. You still perform devotional service there for the pleasure of Krishna, along with the other devotees. And you will be guided by the spiritual master, but senior, you know, even amongst the gopis, the senior gopis who are guiding the other younger gopis. There are groups. There are some groups that do music, some groups that do cooking, some groups that do decoration. So it's all happening for the pleasure of Krishna. So the devotional service is sweet. It's nice. If we don't do the devotional service, we have to do material activity, because we cannot stop and do nothing. Because our nature as a spirit soul is to be active. It's to seek pleasure. Now, either we take pleasure from material source or we take it from spiritual. We cannot be without pleasure. It's not possible. So material pleasure is intoxicating and it's conditioning us and it's entangling us in the mesh of Maya. Spiritual activity, they're freeing us from all sinful activity. And it's promoting us to the spiritual world. But we have to do activity. Either we serve Krishna in the temple or we serve Maya. We have to serve. We are servant. You have a boss? Yes. So you're serving your boss. But the real boss is Krishna. So we want to serve Krishna. Does this answer your question? Any other question? Yes.
And also you mentioned about the mind and the rest and the rest and the body. Bhaktivinoda Maharaj says that we should be mind and the human and the shoes and the head. But on practical way, but it becomes worse enemy, it can very easily deviate us from our
consciousness.
Or even though we are practicing, but we are not able to go back and the worst enemy, and the mind is.
Srila Prabhupada explained we should take the approach of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was chanting, you know, many millions of names every day. So when the prostitute came, he didn't say, no, no, go away, you're a prostitute. No, he said, yeah, no problem, I will enjoy you, just sit down, wait. And he continued chanting. So when our mind bewilders us, then we should tell our mind, Okay, yeah, sure. What you say is true. We will do that, but now let me finish my round. So there is an approach. You fight your mind, and your mind will defeat us. Because the mind has been with us millions of lifetimes. He knows all the tricks. Yeah, he knows more tricks than us. So the mind can defeat us, and then we will fall from the spiritual platform. So the idea is to tell the mind, okay, my dear mind, wonderful idea, but now let me finish this round. And then you will see after some time the mind is not disturbing you anymore. Because the mind changes according to time during the day, you know, the modes of material nature change. So the approach is not to fight the mind, but say, okay, relax, yes, sure, I will enjoy, I will do whatever you say, but now let me just focus on this chanting, let me focus on this reading, let me put this bhajan, let me hear the lecture. And so then what happened? The mind becomes spiritualized. And then at one point the mind becomes your friend, because she doesn't have any more negative, any more material, any more, you know, egoistic desire. In fact, the mind can become our friend, means we control it, and the mind say, okay, there is a nice way to serve the bodies, there's a nice way we can do this. So, but of course, we have to work on it. Nothing comes for free. So we have to work on our mind, and the best way is to approach the mind, not by fighting with her, but saying, okay, yes, we appease the mind, and at the same time we engage in devotional service. So, Trinada Pisa Nichana Tarora Pisa Ishana Amanina Amanana Kirtaniya Sari. So, as we engage in kirtan, in devotional service, our mind becomes purified. Because we have accumulated doubts for millions and millions of lifetimes. Even we think, well, I never had this crazy desire. What's actually this crazy desire come in my mind? Now, by association, material energy, you know, we can become disturbed. Or sometimes just, you know, as we become purified, Prabhupada explained also, as you boil the ghee, all the impurity will come up. So as we chant Hare Krishna, all the impurity will come up in our mind. And we have to distinguish these are unwanted things, scoop it up, throw it. And then they're not there anymore. But if we start to think, oh, maybe, you know, maybe I should enjoy this, maybe I should do this, again, the false ego and ahankar will keep us engaged in materialistic life. So we should just discard whatever is unnecessary, you know. Simplify our life. More we simplify our life, more easy become Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple ego, complicated for the complicated ego. So we want to become simple. So that, you know, every day we have a program, we wake up in the morning, we put the bhajan, we do what we need to do, you know, and everybody finds his own balance. But the temple is available for everybody, it's giving shelter to everybody. There's Mangalarti every day, whether you come or not, Mangalarti is there. Try to come. If you cannot, okay, come for darshanarti. If you cannot, come for the evening. If you cannot, take prasad. I don't know. Find out some way in which you can put Krishna in your life in the center. That way you can overcome your mind. Does this answer the question?
Well, sometimes people try to make others' life complicated. You don't want to do it. But people, you know, they're making it complicated, so how to
say it? See, Mataji, sometimes a good manager will be able to escape all these tricks. So the best way to approach is to say, when somebody asks you to do something that you cannot do or you don't want to do, say, I wish I could do it, but please forgive me, I cannot do these things because I don't have time, I'm busy doing some other things. So we're not offending them, but say, let them know that we cannot perform those activities because, you know, we are not able to. And so a good manager will manage our life. Sometimes we have to say no. If we say yes to everybody, then we become crazy. Because everybody has a different idea, different vision. You know, there's a story of the son and the father and the donkey. You know the story?
No.
Okay, so there's a guy who walks in Himalaya with a donkey, and him and his son are sitting on top of the donkey. So they go by one village, and there's all the villagers say, hey, look at this, you know, poor donkey, you know. Only the young boy should sit on the donkey, and the old man should walk because he's strong. So then he get down, and he's walking with the donkey, and his son is sitting on the donkey. Then they go to the next village, they say, but look at this guy, he's so stupid, you know. He's an old man, he should sit on top of the donkey. And the young boy is young, he should walk. Then he put his son down and so on. And then they go to another village and they say, oh, look at this guy, he's so stupid. Why his son cannot sit with him on the donkey? So he takes his son and put him on the donkey. And they go to the next village, they say, oh, poor donkey, you know. Then you should carry the donkey because it's old. So, you know, whatever you do, there will be somebody who's dissatisfied with you, but to welcome with you, you know. The idea is that be fixed in following what Prabhupada says and what Krishna says, and do not worry, you know. I mean, sometimes people, they will find some fault in everything, so you cannot do anything about it. And he said, please excuse me, forgive me, I cannot do what you say, but I have a program designed, and I'm following this path. So the people will say, okay, you know.
Okay.
Is this okay? Yes, okay.
You said when someone says something, you can't just say yes, otherwise you become crazy.
Yes.
And then if you say, please forgive me, what if they say, I'll not forgive you?
Wow.
What is the question?
That's a good question. Now, if somebody asks you, especially you are young, can you play in your danga? And say, no, I want to go and play with my friend. So that's maya. So if you say, no, I cannot because I want to go and play, yeah, then maybe, you know, they will not forgive you. Because you play nice in danga, they want you to play in the kirtan. So you have to distinguish. But usually the body are very forgiving. No one is forcing you to do anything. They will ask you nicely, and so they are your friends. Right? Is anybody forcing you to do something? No. You are enjoying playing your danga? So keep on playing on your danga, go back, going back to God. You will enjoy life. Any other question? I think it's almost time for prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Gaura Premanande.